Lift up your hands. Sirang kapen Yahintia sefo Yahintia sefo no
wa 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 ti toe da.
The songwriter says it is a testimony of joy. And he just some can say, and yeah, no, so when you're visa, the joyful news is not that you have been married. The joyful news is not that you have a child. They are good. But our great joy is in this, that out of all the subscriptions of religion and the eternal faith that awaits us, it is our ministry and religion that the Messiah still lives today. So let your hope rest in this thing, that the God you pray to is alive. It's not the God of the dead. That is what the song means. Since we bless God, somebody this spring, choir, since we bless God, that Christ is alive. Amen. Clap those hands and put them together for the Lord. And be seated. The Lord bless you. I pray for you today that you be a finisher. The Bible says that he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he doesn't leave the plow. He says he just looks back. It's not fit for the kingdom. Somebody says it's a serious matter. Amen. So I want to encourage you. Many of you started doing things in the house of God, and then you stop. The scripture didn't say that you put your hand and you left it. He said you put your hand and you look back. And even that one, he says it's a disqualification for you that day in heaven. Hey, may the Lord be merciful to us. And he just can say, what a glorious word that the Lord is alive. Amen. I just want to remind you that this earth is still temporary, and one day the Lord will come again in the clouds. This is our hope. Ours will come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This was the joy. They looked forward to this till they died. He says that because of this, they did not even engage, invest in many earthly things. Let that be our joy, that the Lord will come. Lift up your right hand and say, the Lord will come again. Hey, we need to go back to the old time story. Jesus will come again. How many of you are excited? The blessing is that you have received a 3-bedroom house somewhere. It is good, but the greater one is Jesus will come again. Amen. Amen. I will speak on the fragrance of Christ. Say after me, the fragrance of Christ. The fragrance of Christ. Amen. Amen. Oh Lord, hallelujah. Matthew 5, verse number 13. Matthew 5, 13. The fragrance of Christ. Glory to Jesus.
Ye are the salt of the earth.
Yes, you are the salt of the earth.
If the salt have lost its savor, where shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Amen.
Read it again.
You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Amen.
Amen. Ask your neighbor, have you lost your flavor? Ask another person, have you lost it? He says we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? How shall it function? It is then good for nothing to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Lift up your right hand and say, I am the salt of the earth. The antidote to the tasteless world. Hallelujah. Many people here will not enjoy a meal without salt. To be very blunt, to be very insipid. You would not like to taste it. As a matter of fact, it is a common African culture in our local food joints to see extra salt by every dish. And we see our men and women dip their hand into the bowl of salt and sprinkle it in the soup. And then just swirl it, give a taste with their forefinger, and say, it tastes good now. Unknowing to them, they are adding more millimeters of mercury to their systolic pressure and their diastolic blood pressure. I advise you as a medic that it is not advisable to add salt to already cooked food. He's saying that you are the salt. The world is like an insipid food. Food that is bland, food that is not tasty. Until you come in, your company is a tasteless area. It's a place without flavor until you appear there. Your marriage, your home, anywhere you are part of, should there be people who are unbelieving, he says there is no taste, there is no flavor until you come in. Thank you, Lord. There is no taste, there is no flavor until you come in. That is who you are. And he says he's expecting this from you. That if you are truly, truly born again, I beg you, don't waste 20 years of your life in church and not make it to heaven. Scripture says even a liar will not enter the kingdom. Please, if you are truly, truly, truly born again, there are some things you will not do if you are truly born again. If you are truly born again, when you enter into an arena where the flavor is absent, where there is no sweet savor, when you enter there, according to Scripture, flavor must begin to be experienced. People must begin to experience a certain newness in that place. The truth is that you have been in certain companies where they have rather taken away your little flavor. Your flavor has not been able to deodorize the place, to bring some fragrance into the place. People actually see you, and those people question whether you are a child of God or not. As a matter of fact, he says that you are responsible for seasoning the earth. You are responsible for adding some good taste into the earth. But there's a catch there. If you lose your flavor, if you expose salt in the open air, it loses its flavor, it loses its efficacy. If you lose it, it says you are good for nothing. I'm praying for somebody here that you will not be a good for nothing Christian, that you will not be trampled upon by men, that you will not lose your favor. You are the antidote to a tasteless world. You are the antidote to the poisons and the evils that plague our societies. The corruption that we see. The vileness that clamors our morality in this world. You are the antidote. The church today appears to be trampled upon. We have lost our flavor. And we are engaged in unnecessary tactics. Highly unnecessary. Our gauge for success has become so physical. Our gauge for success and the blessings of the Lord have become so materialistic. We lack power as a church. We have become masters of philosophy. We teach principles without power. We meet in major stadia and big buildings, yet we lack that distinguishing factor that separates us from our society, that we should be the flavor of them. when the church is unable to meet the needs of the people, when the church is unable to prescribe the ancient power released into the apostles, then the church begins to engage in more socially oriented programs and activities. And this is good, but it should not replace our purpose and mandate to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to open blind eyes, to preach the gospel all over the world, and baptize them in the name of the Father. The social responsibilities of the church should not replace this mandate. Then it's Luke chapter 10, verse 5. Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, two sandals, staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food." There is no mention there that we should become so materialistic. There is no mention there. There is no other legacy to be laid in the kingdom of God. No other name to be honored in the kingdom of God. No other mandate to be revered in the kingdom of God. All these have been accomplished through our Lord and Savior already. We are only to become fragrances of Christ. Anything more than that is an anomaly. There is no other. Now many ministries are so bent on building dynasties and legacies of men. Sometimes when I see some preachers in places, I am tempted. I cannot tell whether this is the fulfillment of the Great Commission or this is a man's desire trying to become popular. Yeah, you are the salt of the earth. But when you lose your flavor, it says you are good for nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10 to 15 speaks. It says that according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Tell your neighbor, take heed how you are building on the foundation that is Christ. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid. I want to repeat that. No other foundation can any bishop, archbishop, prophet, evangelist, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid. Now, if anyone builds on this, whether gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, everyone's work shall become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Look at that. And the fire will test everyone's work, what sort it is. If anyone has built on it, if anyone's work which has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as with fire. I'm asking you. Today, there are many places where they are trying to lay another foundation than Jesus Christ. Your general overseer is not the foundation. Your prophet is not the foundation. Your pastor is not the foundation. He says there is no other foundation that can anybody lay than that which is laid aside Christ Jesus. There is no other foundation. You need to build on the foundation of Christ and not the foundation of any man. You need to be connected to him. He says that your work will be tested with fire, and if it endures, you receive a reward. I'm praying for you that we will receive rewards in heaven. I'm praying that we'll receive rewards in heaven. Amen. Because the fire will test your work. Gossip cannot stand fire. Backbiting will not stand the fire. Wickedness, hatred, not loving people, it will not stand the fire. Lack of endurance will not stand the fire. He says, whatever work you build on, he says somebody builds gold on, he says another builds hay, wood, straw. What are you building on this foundation? The same foundation which is Christ. What are you building on it? What are you building on it? Attendance to church is not equal to admission into heaven. Attendance to church does not equate to rewards in heaven. Begin to think about heaven. Begin to think that your work will be tried. He says some people's work will be burnt. Hey! Your work will be burnt. 20 years of preaching the gospel will be burnt with fire. He says, and you will be almost burnt, but you will be saved. But even when he saves you, it will be as if somebody that they have pulled through fire. You will enter heaven with your clothes tattered, with your hair burning, and smoke will be coming out of you. People in heaven will even think that the enemy has appeared there. Not knowing a Christian who did not build well had appeared. Let this not be your testimony on the pearly gates. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Today, many people are building their own things. And I'm praying for you that you will not project anything aside Christ. Listen, any man or woman of God, worshiper, whoever, that tends to project their name over the founding and sustaining name of this faith is a mocker. Or a fellow DNA. Any person that does that. Any person. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 1 to 4, and then we'll continue 5 to 9. 2 Corinthians 11, read.
Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly.
Oh, that you would bear with the preacher in a little foolishness. Assume that Brother Paul and Dr. Buadum, we are foolish. Assume that. And just bear with us and listen to us. Yes.
And indeed, you do bear with me.
Thank you.
For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy.
He says, I am a bit concerned about you like a husband that sees the wife with another man. I'm a bit jealous with you, and it's a godly jealousy. And what is this about?
For I have betrothed you to one husband.
He says, I have committed you to one man.
That I may present you as a chaste virgin.
So that I'll be able to take you to this man as somebody who has not been defiled.
But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
He says, but I'm afraid. That the same way the serpent deceived Eve by being crafty, you will also be deceived by the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Many believers are being fooled because the truth is so simple. The truth is so pure. John 3:19, he says, no Christian light has come into the world, but men prefer darkness. You should be very careful. You should be very careful because we are the people he wrote about. He says that if anybody will cause any of these children to lose their way, it will be worse if a stone was hung around your neck and they drag you through the sea. Hey, that's our God. He's a God of justice and he's a God of mercy also. Everything will be dealt with. If somebody has ever vowed never to hear the words of Christ because of the fragrance you exhibited to them, I'm praying for you that you'll be able to reconcile with God quickly and then go and make sure that person stops that thought. Because God will ask you. God will ask you. You are supposed to be a fragrance. You are supposed to be an attractant. You are supposed to bring people to him. You should not push people away from him. No. I'm talking about people who have not known Christ. Hypocrisy stains our garments. Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 was successful not because of prayer, but because of oneness of mind. Oneness of mind. As for me, God has set me somewhere else. So I continue to do what I'm doing. Because I realize that many more people are being blessed. Glory to God. And so I just want to continue to encourage you in the word that if you are not distributing the fragrance of Jesus Christ, you are wasting your time. Because your work will be tried with fire. Your work will be tried with fire. Many people cannot be corrected. Anytime you realize you cannot be corrected, remember I've said this thing. There's a reason for the traffic light on the streets. Put traffic lights up there. He's saying something. And I'm afraid that if I begin, you will be fooled by the simplicity in Christ. It is so simple. The message of Christ, the gospel must be preached in all simplicity. He says that I am afraid that if somebody comes to you to present something else to you, you will bear with the person. You will endure the person. That is why he said you will put up with it. I'm afraid. He says, I'm concerned that if somebody preached another Jesus whom we have not preached, if somebody ministered another spirit whom we have not ministered to, if somebody brought you another gospel whom we have not done to, he says, you may very well put up with it. You will put up with it. Another spirit that will link things up and speak to the dead on your behalf. Another gospel that says it is okay to take another man's wife. Another gospel. He says, I'm afraid that you will bear with it. You will take it. And so I'm afraid. Verse number 5.
For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech.
He says, even though I may be considered not as one of the forefathers of the gospel, and also because I do not, my speech was very, very harsh. But he's bringing a challenge to them. He says, did I commit sin in humbling myself that you shall be exalted because I preach the gospel free of charge? Somebody say free of charge.
Free of charge.
Free of charge. Say it again. He says, I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything, say everything, I kept myself from being a burden to you. And so I will keep myself. He said, did that commission that I preached to you, I humble myself. He says, but because we didn't do those things, it's as a matter of fact. He says, you should never be a burden unto them. But he says, because he was doing these things, the fragrance, these things that he was doing, he says that the people became fooled that this gospel is too simple. So they started looking for people who, when they preach to you, you have to give them $1,000 before they prophesy to you. You have to do this before they do this to you. That is what he's talking about. The gospel should be free. Four lessons we can learn here. Number one, anybody that stands in ministry, from a worshiper to a preacher, a teacher to an exhorter, he says you should humble yourself so that the congregation will be exalted. Can I get an amen for that? Anybody, whether you're an usher, whether you are this, you should humble yourself. Humility, that is not humility. Young men ministering using their left hand. You. That's not humility. There is no humility. Whether you sing, whether you pray, whether you are the one that can pray 20 hours, there is no humility. You are gone. He says, I humbled myself so that the church will be exalted. The second lesson we will learn there is that the gospel, say after me, the gospel must always be ministered free of charge. Whether it is through preaching, singing, worship concert, anything that concerns the gospel of Jesus Christ, if the modus, the main theme of that is for the propagation of the gospel, is for salvation, is to bring the good news of Christ to people, there should not be an access fee attached to it. That shouldn't be. Anything that borders on Jesus should not have an access fee. The 13th lesson there, he said, I took from rich churches, use it to be a blessing unto you. This is truth. And the truth is that those who are financially comfortable should help sponsor the gospel. It's truth. It's truth. He says that I took from very good churches, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 1 is a story about Prophet Nathan and David. And in this story, he says, there were two people in a certain city. The same, there were two churches in a certain city. One of them was a very rich church. It had a lot of sheep, it had a lot of flock. And one of them was a very poor church. It had only 5 people. And one day when there was an event and they needed somebody to lead worship, they left their 2,000 members and went into the small church that was trying to do something also for the Lord. And they took their best singer, they took their best worshiper, they took the associate pastor, they took him and took him there, and the Lord is not happy. That is the scripture. I am talking about scripture. He says, 1 Samuel chapter 12. And Nathan went and told King David that this is what happened. The king said, "What? Whoever did that should be punished." He said, "It is you." Today, many mega churches rob micro churches of the prevailing talents that will help the gospel. It has ceased to become the work of the kingdom. It has now become the work of a man. Yes, the ambitions of a man. He says that the rich church went and deprived. You know, sometimes even there could be one ogre, one chief, one sponsor. They will still take that sponsor out of that little church to the big church. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Since there were two churches, they had everything. Our work will all be tried by fire. Everybody, from the bishop to the apostate to the tenkots to anybody, everybody's work will be tried. Everybody's work will be tried. You should be careful. This is the Lord's business. There were two churches in one city, one rich, one poor. Where is our fragrance? And I've told you, and I'll say it again, that if anybody has said because of you, they will never go to church, you are in trouble. You are already in trouble. Thank you, amen. Thank you, amen. May you be the fragrance of Christ. I said, may you be the fragrance of Christ. Let it be so for you in the name of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 2. Verse number 14 to 17.
Our thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other we are the aroma of life, leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Amen.
He says, thanks be to God who leads us to triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Every place. Through us. God diffuses, he releases, he spreads the fragrance. Everybody knows fragrance. Even if you don't use perfume, which I believe everybody here does, you have actually smelled some good fragrance of our mother's cooking and our wife's cooking in the kitchen. Sometimes when you want to fast, that is when you begin to have a heightened perception of fragrances and aroma. Most people use a nice cologne today, right? And so when people are walking by you, they don't smell the aroma of the sweat in this our tropical Africa. They smell the fragrance of the perfume. He says, God through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. You realize now that thing is not happening with you. Because if God has been diffusing the fragrance of his knowledge through you at the place you've been going to, somebody would have smelled Jesus Christ by now. Somebody would have smelled Jesus Christ by now. People should enter your home and know that, I want to be like these people. But it is not happening. He says that in this diffusion, he says that we are the aroma. We are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are perishing. Among those who are saved and among those who are perishing. He says, to one of them we are the aroma of life. When people see you, when people encounter you, they should encounter a certain smell that brings them to life. I'm praying that when people see you, they will smell the aroma of life. People should not see you. And then there are others who will also see you, and the aroma you are still bringing will become death to them because your life spoke to them and they chose not to answer. And so they'll be judged by it. I told you last week, two men hang on the cross with Jesus Christ. The same aroma. To one of them, it was for life. To the other, it was unto death. I'm praying for you that you begin to diffuse this fragrance of Christ. Begin to diffuse this. And cause people that come into contact with you to become saved. Nothing. Be very, very careful. Your work will be tried. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you are. He says that you can lose your flavor and you'll be trampled on the earth. Men will trample on you. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter. Now we are not joyful about heavenly things anymore. We are not joyful. Paul got to a place, he says, I am confused between two matters. Whether I should die and go and be with the Lord, or I should stay with you and continue to teach you. Everybody wants to be famous and popular. Everybody. I told you in the beginning, there is no foundation, there is nothing. There is no name shall be exalted or lifted up in Christianity than the name of Jesus Christ. He said, I humble myself that the church shall be exalted. He says, I took from the rich and give to the poor. Have you entered certain prophetic services before? People can be duped physically. They take from the poor. Pastors who should rather sow into the lives of people, they take from the people. But it is that simplicity that fools you. So, your work will be tried with fire. It will be tried. I can't wait for heaven. I can't wait. Your work will be tried. I say your work will be tried. What are you building on? You are supposed to be an aroma. When we want to smell, it is only wood. Wood we are smelling. When we want to smell your work, it is hay in Mura. Hey, as for you, this is who you are. You cannot change. Your work will be tried. I told you, gossip cannot stand fire. He says everybody's work will be tried by fire. Everybody's work. I want to encourage you that this is the work of God. Nothing should be exalted more than Jesus Christ. Nothing. We have become a people who have been fooled by the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you. The simplicity of the gospel and the simplicity of God's true messengers is what continues to fool you. He says, and in these things, never be in a burden to anybody. And I pray that you will be able to say the same to people. That if I have not shown the fragrance of Christ, but any other fragrance, then they can say it. I'm praying for you. I am praying for you. That you will not pay tithes and still go to hell. I am asking you. The generation in which we appeared, I preached a sermon many years ago, generational heroes. The blessing of being in a certain generation. Where there are some people, if they met some people in certain generations, they would not have died. Yeah. So I want you to become an advocate, a testimony of Christ. Are you ready? Bow down your heads and pray. Repent as God for forgiveness. That if in any way you have not shown fragrance, release the fragrance of Christ in any place you have been, that the Lord will be merciful to you, that those people that you met and could not influence about Christ, some of you are here, you have even made people regret Christianity. I pray God should give you double mercy because it will speak against you. We are praying now that you become a good messenger. A good smell. Ask God for forgiveness.
Show us mercy.
Ask Him for forgiveness. Lift up your hands, every eye closed. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. Downwards it says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Shall make us sweet fragrances of the Lord Jesus. I'm praying that our passions shall not be for the things of this world, but shall be heavenly things. Begin to pray that you will not live a life of sin, that you will not be a person of the world, that you will not lust after the things of the world, that you will be a fragrance of Christ. I want everybody to pray now, seriously. Pray. Pray like your life depends on it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sweet Jesus. Thank you. So